Hello.
Hi, guys.
It's just us, I think.
Me and you?
Yeah, the Lonely Hearts Club.
Well, oh my God, what was it? I just got back from the eye doctor.
Ugh. So
I can't see.
That's okay. There's nothing worth seeing.
I know, right? Everything right now is a big old blur. No. So I told Mark, you're going to have to, I don't even know who is my other co-chair. Who's my other co-chair? Caesar? Who is my co-chair?
I think it was Caesar.
I thought. So if he doesn't mind, he's going to have to run today's meeting because I can't see. Mm-hmm. I can't see nothing. Mm. How are you doing, sir?
Doing pretty good, just trying to stay out of trouble.
I hear you. I hear you. No. I enjoyed my meeting over here yesterday. Oh, my God.
Mm.
We got into it at the end.
Like, uh-oh, what happened?
So much going on over here with the dental program, and we're all a little bit edged. And so I think we just all got out whatever we had left in our system, vented on each other or yelled at each other. And so I'm still on on them. Mm. Yesterday's fun meeting. But other than that, I can't see. I'm sleepy. Mm. I don't want to go to work tomorrow.
Well, the drop should wear off shortly.
Yeah, I got another. They told me what? Another hour, another 2 more hours. Yeah. And everything's like, everything feels like it's just, don't even talk about going outside. It's really sunny outside. And right when I got out the appointment, I really couldn't see. Thank God I had my glasses. Oh, I wanted to go back. Because you guys didn't give me one of those glasses that you have to wear outside. It was bad. I was like, oh my God, I bumped into a wall. I've had this test before, but it was never that bad. But they were putting so much of the solution in my eyes. So mm-hmm. I still did it.
Yeah. But since you're blurry, you may not be aware, but we've had 1, 2, 3, 4, I think 5 more people join.
Oh, yay. Good. Anybody else with is council support on? I really can't see.
Melina is there.
Okay.
And I don't know who's on phone. And JP is there, and Zach is there, and Ron, and you and me.
Yay!
And I've got to get up.
This is Gwen. I'm on by phone because I'm having technical difficulties here. Getting on Zoom.
Okay. Not a problem. Glad you're aboard. As long as you could hear us, we're cool.
It seems like we might have quorum. Is that right, Kira?
Yeah, we've met quorum.
Okay. All right, you guys. I don't know if Mark told you guys. I can't see right now because I just got out of the eye doctor, so everything's a big blur to me. So I don't know who is. Caesar's my co-partner, right? I don't know if he's here, if he wants to run the meeting, or somebody just wants to read out everything.
I told Allie, Elaine. Hi, Elaine. Thank you so much for even being a part of this meeting with a bum eye. That must suck. Can I ask, because I just joined, who's on 671-7000?
I think that's Gwen.
That's Gwen.
Hi, Gwen.
Hi.
I guess to help Elaine out, Allie, would you mind facilitating unless someone else would like to jump in and do it?
I'm happy to, unless somebody else feels they would rather. I certainly have time for that.
Yeah, just because I can't see. I mean, all you guys are coming into a big blur for me, so I'm just still big blur, so I can't read the minutes or anything like that right now. So if somebody just wants to read or...
Yeah, I'm happy to. I can just facilitate, like, just read out the agenda items and, note where we're, what we're talking about. Try to be as verbal as possible if that works. Hopefully that'll help you out.
Yeah, that will. You're just blurry, that's all.
Yeah, I get it.
All right, if we want to go ahead and just start the meeting, can we get a roll call? Yay.
I actually don't have the roll call sheet. Kira, do you have that by any chance? You can
call people out.
Just call on people to do introductions. For committees, we don't really do the roll call. So if you want to just, Allie, if you just want to call on folks and then each person can just introduce themselves.
Yeah. Sure. All right, we'll start with Ed.
Hi, Ed, city council member.
Elaine?
Present.
Ron?
Ron, I'm present. I'm the council member or committee member.
Zachary
Davenport, council member.
John Paul.
Council member, thank you.
Gwen.
Gwen Smith, council member.
And then for council staff, looks like we have Kira.
Hi everyone, Kira, council staff.
Mark.
Mark Ballmer, council staff.
Melina.
Melina Clark, council staff.
And Allie Cohn, council staff. I'll go ahead and share the agenda so you can all look at that. All right, so we want to review this agenda and approve that. I'll go ahead and scroll through and verbally I'll just note that it looks like we have the boilerplate items. In addition to that, there is an exit interview from Jackson and a resignation from Charles. We also have agenda items noted for council recruitment and demographic update, which we have every month.
So one addition to that, actually it's two additions to the agenda. I think when it rains, it pours. We have two other resignations that we want to add. Jesse Murphy and Bruce Ito.
Oh, that's right. Okay. Yeah. We will consider the agenda updated and we will try to get an exit interview from those folks as well, but we won't have that to review today. Right. I'm just trying to share the minutes here. All right, so I'm also sharing the minutes. Hopefully folks can see these. it looks like last month there was a notice of attendance sent to Ken Pierce. There was some discussion around people who are on current leaves of absence. Zachary was reassigned to this committee. Welcome, Zachary.
Welcome. None of the target. Thank you.
None of the target areas have changed for the demographic report. Discussion about recruitment efforts for council members, and Elaine discussed some of the efforts that had been successful in Marin County. No votes. Any amendments to the February minutes? Great. So next we have announcements. Any announcements? Mark?
Hi. I think, I'm not sure if I got it from everyone, but everyone should have received my email about getting to me your proof of vaccination that is mandated, and you can send me either like the state one that has a QR code, or just like a photo of your vaccination card, as long as it has your name on it. Everyone might have already sent that in to me, but if you haven't, I think I might be missing one or two, actually. How did I?
Missing mine. I forgot.
I think I might be missing a couple, yeah. So just email that to me. It's definitely mandated by the mayor's office, and the mayor put some pretty strong words in their letter, specifically that if you if you've not submitted your vaccination, proof of vaccination prior to having a full council meeting or a council meeting, which we might be having next month, that will be considered misconduct by the mayor and subject to removal. So the strongest words were used. So please do send those to me. We don't want the mayor to get you. And Allie, this is totally unrelated. Would you mind changing Gwen's phone number to Gwen Smith just for the recording? It looks like Melina has her hand up too.
Thanks, Mark. I just wanted to remind folks to please complete your 700 forms if you haven't already. The deadline is April 1st, and we don't want you to get fined. And I think most people have, but if you haven't, you will be getting another reminder from Kira and I. Thank you.
Great. Any additional announcements? Public comments? All right, next we are in the council member attendance report, council applicant section. We have resignation from Charles and an exit interview from Jackson. So I'm gonna go ahead and screen share, and I actually think it might be beneficial just to read this. Jackson was quite thorough in his exit interview. And so I suspect there might be something to discuss there. So I'm gonna go ahead and share screen and also read it if that seems helpful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, give me just 1 second while I make this a font size that I can read. Okay, so question one, what are the primary reasons for leaving council? I'm making a career transition and I'm shifting my focus toward activities that support this transition. I'll be taking on several new commitments in the coming months, and I need to make sure I have maximum availability for these commitments. rating the council's ability to serve the people of the EMA living with an at-risk for HIV. He rated it as a 7 out of 10. What did you like most about the council? I have made lots of important connections during my time on the Prevention Council and on the Merged Council. During my time on the Prevention Council, I was able to make tangible changes to policy and systems. On the Combined Council, I was able to learn more about how community planning for HIV care works. What did you like least about the council? The combined HCPC is very different from the glory days of the Prevention Council. Things feel very rote, the same processes at the same time of year with basically the same outcomes. It doesn't feel like there is very much ingenuity happening, just maintaining a status quo. I understand that the status quo that I have experienced is highly responsive to the needs of the community, opposed to what folks in other EMAs might be experiencing. That said, it feels like the work of the council is to maintain the resources that were won in the past at the risk of being less responsive to what is needed today. I think my true disappointment is at the loss of the substantive community planning that was part of the Prevention Council prior to the paradigm shift, quote unquote. That is not the fault of the Care Council, but rather of a health department that chose to abandon the practice at the first opportunity. I was hopeful that a combined council with the help of the Care Council's mandate would resurrect this truly meaningful collaboration slash tension with the health department, but that was not my experience. What would you change or improve to make the council better? In my experience, HIV prevention and the needs of HIV negative people are an afterthought, not just for the council, but for public health in general. Now that PrEP and treatment as prevention are practically universally available with many caveats, it feels like the attitude toward HIV negative people is, you're good, right? Call us if you test positive. This might literally be my middle-aged ass saying back in my day, but in terms of the work of the council, there isn't much for those of us who are representing prevention to chew on. I would be curious to know if other prevention people feel the same. Rating overall experience as a council member as a 7 out of 10. Did your service on the council turn out to be what you expected? I think yes and no. Overall, I've really enjoyed my time on the council, and over the course of the 16 years that I have been part of HIV community planning, I feel like I've been able to contribute positively and have felt proud of what has been accomplished. I think my time on the combined council has been what I expected of the combined council, mostly HIV care focused work slash information with a sprinkling of HIV prevention. I wish it could have been more balanced. Did you receive enough training to effectively do your work? Yes. Did you receive the support you needed to do your work? Yes. As a new council member, I felt very behind the ball in terms of what was expected, but council staff and more established council members were very helpful in getting me up to speed. Did you receive encouragement and feel connected to the group? Yes. Do you have any tips or suggestions to help us find your replacement? I guess it depends on what kind of replacement you're looking for. I think there can always be more trans representation, but I would shy away from suggesting that you look for another white trans male. I personally think that the current council has a more than decent percentage of folks who have been on the council for a long time and who are specifically interested in seeing things stay the same, mixed with some new folks who don't have enough experience to agitate, topped off with a couple of people who are really there to push the envelope. I would love to see more envelope pushers. I think there are some really engaged folks who are part of El La Prior Trans Latinas who I would love to see join. It would require extra work on the part of council staff in terms of making the process accessible for folks who are monolingual Spanish speaking or who have English as a second language. But I think that would probably be good for everyone involved. In the future, would you consider working with the council again? Yes, right now I need to focus on this transition, but I have the feeling that once things are rolling along, I will want to get involved in something that has to do with HIV care and prevention. Would you recommend working with the council to your friends, family, or other contacts? Yes, but I don't have anyone specific in mind. Any additional comments? Thank you for putting up with me for all these years. I know that I push hard sometimes, but it comes from a place of love and dedication. Thank you for letting me learn, for being open, and for giving me the opportunity to do work that I love. Wow. It's really something to hear Jackson's very clear voice coming out of my mouth. I don't know if that was the same.
That was definitely Jack's voice. I loved it. That was delightful. Allie, can I ask a favor of you? I mean, the group can certainly discuss this further, but Jackson made some very clear points, critique around how HIV prevention has landed in the post-merge world. And I really feel that's something that our prevention representative, Thomas Noble, should hear about. You know, a big part of us being able to actually look at HIV prevention systems, that's a big part of us being able to be a part of community planning, rests on the shoulders of that government representative. We can only do, obviously, what they bring to us, because unlike the Care Council, our work with prevention is purely advisory. And so there has to be impetus on the side of government to actually include us. We have no mandate to force him. And so I think he should see these comments. Jackson is one of the longest serving prevention council members, I was there with Jackson as a representative of the former care council when we did integrated work across different committees on the separate councils. And Jackson was a change agent and spoke truth to power all the time. And so I just think it's important that power does see Jack's last words.
Sorry, what was the ask in there? Do you want me to send it to Thomas or bring it to him?
Please send it to Thomas Noble.
Okay. Other discussion of this item? Sorry, did I hear somebody? Is that Gwen? Was that you?
No, not I, but okay. I'm a long-term member of the Prevention Council also, mm-hmm. and it's totally different from the Care Council.
Yeah.
Very, totally different. And I can see why prevention is being, it appears that it's been put on the back burner. The care has totally taken over.
Thank you, Gwen. Other thoughts on either prevention's role on the council or other comments that Jack made?
Well, as a longtime prevention council member, our focus, it seemed like we were more in tune with the health department, that we were included more and what programs were there and had a voice. And it seems like after the merger, that voice was dulled. And we began focusing on the Ryan White funding streams, everything that we had to do. The Care Council was more structured than we were. And they had, there was a lot more deadlines and things that we in the Prevention Council were not aware of. And I think because of that, sometimes it feels like we're hemmed in, but it's not anything that the council is doing that's causing that. It's just because of the strict guidelines and time frames that things have to be done in. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just say, as somebody who came in after the merge and does not know the history and how the two bodies functioned separately before, it's all kind of in my imagination, how based on little bits and pieces of what I've heard. So it for me, and I'm sure for others, it might be valuable to have a history lesson of some sort, more in depth. I did get a little bit of that when I joined the council, but a little more specific about the prevention side, because it sounds like Jackson was really speaking to that. And I'm really interested in finding out more about kind of that more, I don't know, it feels more rowdy and activism and something that I have not experienced a lot of on the council so far. I mean, it's been pretty tame, which I guess I anticipated it would be a little more activist driven or like that. But I do agree with some of the things he says, just from what I've witnessed. And I really also like the part that he talked about representation, having more trans folks on the council. And that's partly why I'm here on the membership committee.
wonderful. We do need new members. I think that's going to be a message that we hear in this agenda item. You know, not to deliver that history lesson right now, but just more of a snapshot. Certainly, Gwen and Ed fully understand what Jack was talking about. You know, once upon a time, the Care Council itself was quite rowdy, but that was before the Care Council lost. I mean, the EMA lost 40% of our funding. And so after that happened, it became more of a let's circle the wagons. We have a really good system that we've still managed to maintain despite these huge cuts, and we can't suffer any more cuts. And so suddenly the rowdiness kind of dissipated with the need to protect, was replaced with the need to protect. So fully understandable. Something quite different, but that landed sort of us in the same place was happening in the Prevention Council. You know, the Prevention used to annually update their plan, and then I think it moved to a 3-year plan, and then it moved to a 5-year plan. And so parallel to that, the mandate shifted. Actually, the mandate was lifted. Prior to that, the council actually the Prevention Council had to approve the plan that was put forward and could actually block successfully things that they disagreed with. That was lifted and it became advisory. So the Prevention Council or the new merge council can still like certainly issue an objection to a particular plan, but it just doesn't carry the same weight. Also parallel to that, after we merged, two of the, I would say more like the highest ranking population health division person, Tracy Packer, literally head of all of the prevention initiatives, amongst many other things, and one of the most, and another staff person, one of the most active as far as being able to sort of shift with the times, Eileen Laughlin, they both left the council. Now, I'm not trying to speak down on the replacements. It was first Jose Luis and then Thomas, but they exist in a different part of that prevention structure. And so all these kinds of things sort of happened within a short period of time. And the result was exactly as what Gwen and Ed and Jackson have described, which is suddenly like prevention is only sort of like a plus one to the conversation. I know that Council Affairs does try to include prevention geared or at least prevention allowable topics on presentations. And I know that community engagement, when they are setting up focus groups, et cetera, they always try to reserve at least one potential focus group or more that can serve folks within the prevention continuum, which is of course, literally everyone in the city. But that said, those are almost like, okay, well, we're using elements of the former Care Council to make sure prevention is included. What's missing is that are either council members who want to sort of force the issue, which is tough. It's tough to even try to force government for inclusion, or conversely, government to have interest in including community building. And I think government has, in some ways, been able to. This might sound like a hard word, so I'm sorry to say it, sideline the council, because they actually have had community stakeholder groups that they do actually work with quite closely, two of them, right? Getting to Zero, and now various groups associated with MV epidemics. So it's not like Population Health Division is falling down on their job as far as getting community buy-in. It's just no longer happening from this body.
All right. Ron, I see you have your hand raised.
Yeah, I wanted to echo what Ed was saying. I've noticed, I've been here for about 10 years now with the Care Council or the Combined Council for however long we've been together. But I've noticed that a lot of people from prevention had a learning curve and they took it upon themselves to cross the aisle and to learn Brian White and all the things that Care has to manage. But I didn't see that in the Care side. I haven't really seen the, I still don't know. And I still don't know what prevention does because I'm not told or there hasn't been anything to make me have to learn it. So I don't know, maybe it's because the Care side is more consumer.
Customer advocates.
Yeah, I feel like I don't know anything. I don't see any difference with our council except that we got some more providers in. And so if we're lacking if we're trying to look for the balance of care and prevention, I think a lot of us need to know what we need to do for prevention. And I haven't had anything, maybe a couple reports here or there, but for me, I haven't had an issue that required my full attention to prevention. And I don't know whether that's me on my part or the work that we're doing, but yeah, I see the imbalance there. You know, I'm willing to take up whatever prevention needs for me. I just haven't been faced with it yet. I haven't been given the opportunity.
Yeah. It's almost like the prevention part of our council has been sidestepped, where before we were practically the major organization working with the DPH on prevention issues. And now with getting to zero and ending the epidemic, it's like the council's been left behind and these other organizations, these other new groups have picked up that mantle, and we either need to catch up or to actually make a larger presence on those bodies so that we can once again have a say in what's happening with prevention in the city.
Yeah. This is the council itself has moved from a council, whether it was care or prevention, that saw itself as an activist council to in some ways like a guardian commission, right? Which is a different feeling altogether. I mean, even if you look at the health commission itself, which of course, basically most commissions report to around health, they have to have things approved by them. They don't even necessarily generate new initiatives. They just offer the final approval. And so that's even what's happened on the care side here. And I think will eventually happen with prevention once they bring their five-year plan. I mean, we'll see, I think, if how much the council is actually included in creating that five-year plan. I know that as, you know, council staff, I haven't heard anything to that. That's why I think it's really important to actually involve our government representative, Thomas Noble, to the council. We have certainly heard a lot from Population Health Division, but what we've mainly heard from them, maybe entirely, has been either from End the Epidemics or prior to that whole road mapping process in which certain, I think that actually occurred when Zachary, we were on the council before. And so that was, in some ways, the most dynamic. That was something that was led by a combination of Population Health Division staff, HHS staff, and folks like Mike Shriver and other people on the council. But that was 3 years ago, 4 years ago, maybe. And since then, it's primarily been updates around and the epidemic stuff. And updates are different than community planning.
Yeah.
So yeah. Maybe even CC Dave and I on that email to Thomas Alley so I can make sure to follow up. Because in some ways we've heard this from Thomas himself. Thomas has felt like there are challenges with the council not being dynamic. And I think what Thomas does need to recognize is to make the council dynamic when it comes to prevention, we need a government partner.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I kind of feel what Ron is talking about too. There's sometimes I don't understand what we're doing for prevention or vice versa. So, and having, when we were merging at the time, did lead to a lot of confusion from what I've heard from other members in the past. That's like, what are we doing? What are we doing with the merge? And what are we supposed to do? Learn from one another? I thought that was it. I don't know. I'm still kind of a little confused about what I'm supposed to learn from prevention. But it's something to actually look upon and think about. And yeah, I would like to see what Thomas has to say. And hopefully, I guess everybody can make some kind of like look into it more further and kind of teach everybody along the line now. That'd be fun.
Yeah, I mean, once you have a mandate removed, it has to be coming in some ways from them because we can't, the council can't demand.
No, yeah.
Yeah, unfortunately. I mean, not that the council would demand, but if the council wanted, it could demand, like, things of HIV health services. Like, you need to include us in this decision-making process. It's a mandate that we are involved. The council doesn't have that power with Population Health Division, and so it has to be really, Not that we should ever come from a model of demanding, right? That's not a great look, but that's always in the background, right? Like if there's a mandate, then you're forced to work together. If there's no mandate, the onus is on the entity that actually is making the decisions. I mean, unless you want to be an activist group and actually just, do some rabble rousing and connect directly to the powers that be, but that would be on council members to decide to do that.
Well, I'm willing to learn. I just need some guidance and prevention.
Same here. That's what I was saying too. Just need to learn a little bit more. So that's what I meant about learning what we're supposed to, our roles a little bit more.
I think what we lose with Jackson and what we've lost with Mike Shriver, who actually should also be added to our discussion for the resignations, sorry, is that we had two people who had not just the interest and the ability, but the time to really strongly address these concerns. And so what would be great is if not just the time also, but also the many, many years of experience in being able to actually successfully talk about these challenges. And so I think the council is actually sort of missing that voice now, particularly with both Jack and Mike being gone. There are of course other people who could step into the gap, but there are people who've been around for a while for sure. But it would need that kind of activist energy, and what the council looks like to me right now.
Right. There's a lot of things that put us all in on a halt. So it's just having to get back to some kind of work with everything. So once we find that ground, I think we can really pick it up. And I do feel a little certain members around us that are eager to do that again. So that's the positive and the energy that I'm actually looking forward to. Anything else, y'all? Okay, if we're gonna move along, I don't know what the next on the agenda is.
So it sounds like we have some additional resignations. I'm not sure if there was more discussion to be had around that, Mark.
I can just go over the resignations.
And great. What they mean for, what Thank they you. Mean for.
So of course there's Charles, who gave sort of a tentative resignation actually last year. And so based on the conversation that was summarized for me from last month's membership team meeting, it sounded like there was some, I don't know if you call it frustration or interest in like, let's kind of make this, like, let's make things real. If we're going to be moving back to in-person, we can't just sort of have folks, council members in name only. Charles understood that when I had a conversation with him last year and was fine with this. I'm actually seeing Charles tomorrow afternoon. And it sounds like he's doing better, just so that you all know. Very nice news. I don't think we'll be returning to the council anytime soon. Mike is also doing better, but I also don't think it's going to be returning to the council anytime soon. So just as I've been sort of tasked with being Charles's link to the council, Thomas Noble was tasked with being Mike Schreiber's link. So I did ask Thomas to connect with Mike about the idea of actually permanently stepping back from the council, for multiple reasons. Like Charles, when we come back to in-person, it's not good to have sort of phantom members, but also Mike is the community co-chair of the council. And so we do need to have that be a someone in that position who is going to be able health-wise to be proactive and a part of meetings. Of course, Charles and Mike are absolutely more than welcome to come back onto the council if their health allows, right? But phantom members during in-person meetings, particularly if one of them is an actual council co-chair, it's not going to work. So Charles, that's why this is on the table for resignation. I don't know if we'll actually get an exit interview from Charles because, health is better, but I don't know if they're yet to actually be able to go through that particular piece. Mike, perhaps, But I need to check in with Thomas about when that will happen. I'm not sure Thomas has actually talked to Mike about that. So it sounds like I have a few things to talk to Thomas about. And then with Jesse and with Bruce, we're losing a service provider who specifically was here for mental health, and we're losing a government appointee. Now, Jesse has been an excellent mental health representative, that she's already introduced us to a colleague who is interested perhaps in replacing her on the council. So that's good. You know, that would mean that we would continue to have two people, you know, along with the government appointee Zachary, who can speak to the mental health continuum in some ways, or at least the behavioral health continuum, including mental health. But with Bruce, it's a different story. Bruce has not been as responsive to me as far as, can we please have a replacement? Because, you know, with Margot's passing last year, or year before last, wow. Take a moment there. And now with Bruce, we now have no housing representation. We used to have two. Housing is central to both prevention and care. And so that's going to take some figuring out. I mean, certainly if anyone has any connects, you should let me, or more importantly, Dave, know. And I'm going to just keep harassing Bruce. Oh, Jesse will be at this month's meeting, and we'll announce the resignation there. Bruce, from the email, sounded like it was effective immediately. It was kind of, it wasn't like I'm having a personal problem type email. It was like, my job has changed. I have a lot to do. I just need to leave right now kind of email. Okay. And certainly no critique towards Bruce, who is a lovely person, a lovely human being.
Okay, thanks, Mark. Okay.
Any questions on any of that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Moving on.
I mean, I do have a comment. My heart breaks that Charles Cerrone is leaving. He's been with the council for more than a decade, and he's been that rock for me. I don't know if anyone can carry his weight. So, yeah, I'm hoping to find. We need to find people fast. Yeah.
100%. The challenge, you know, it's interesting. I had a meeting that included Derek Mapp the other day. And I mentioned, hey, Derek, so the council could use some consumers, like yesterday. Do you have any people in your circles who you'd be able to put forward? And he asked, well, what are the parameters? And I said, well, our first parameters are we need people living with HIV, like number one. We always need to maintain that 33%. And if we have other parameters, it is communities of color, trans communities, and particular government appointees. And, you know, he said he would contact his circle, but from I guess his initial impression, he felt that the people that he knew might not fit into any category except person living with HIV, i.e. A gay white male. And so my response was like, well, we need people, though. I mean, even though we want to definitely target communities for sure, above and beyond, like we need to still keep that 33% threshold. So hopefully there might be some, I don't know. But all of us should hopefully be doing this if we have people in our circles who are appropriate for the council.
Mark, do you think because ending the epidemic and getting to zero have such, let's say, notoriety within the community, that people that might be interested in the council might be opting to work with one of those other two groups?
100%.
And yeah, I think that's, I think we're
people being, do tend to gravitate more towards dynamic groups rather than static groups.
Yeah.
It's more fun, it's more interesting, it's more exciting. You get to do actual planning.
And we were dynamic at one time.
Oh, I feel like we're the old golden years.
Yeah,
we're just relaxing now. What's on TV? No,
and it shouldn't be that way. It shouldn't Unless be that way.
Want it to be that way. Yeah. Okay. Allie, I think you have the demographic report, and then you're actually the transfer facilitation over to me after the demographic report, and then I will continue on.
Yes. So I'm going to go ahead and share screen, and I'll show Aries first. This does reflect, I think, the most recent changes was, I think Melina actually did include Bruce's departure. So we are, oops, wrong spreadsheet. Here we go. So we're looking at total membership of 29. Total non-aligned consumers were at 7, 24%. And we're, you know, reminder, we're supposed to be at 33%. Recent departures has not impacted our target areas, but you know, we're still looking at very low, just low numbers overall, plus low, very low numbers for non-aligned consumers. Any questions about what we're seeing here? I can zoom out a little bit so you can see it all on one screen. There you go. I'm sorry, I have a very sad baby in the background. So hopefully you're good.
Yeah, I do have a question, Allie, about the age category. Yeah. Is that based on the time that they first applied or entered the council, or is that something that's updated every year to reflect their real age?
The spreadsheet updates automatically, but we do check it every couple months. So it's possible someone has like aged in, yeah, but we check it every couple of months.
Okay, thank you.
I'll make a note of that we should be checking that before the next time. All right, so I'm gonna go ahead and share the EPI data now. All right, so you know, similarly, we're looking at low numbers, but no changes in our target areas. Any questions about either of these spreadsheets? All right, so I'm gonna go ahead and transfer facilitation over to Mark. I'm so sorry, I have to jump off.
Make me co-host first, otherwise we're all gonna be kicked out. Or make me actual the host. We don't wanna end the meeting that soon.
There you go.
Thanks, Allie. All right, so our last agenda item is recruitment, which obviously is a really good thing to have on the agenda after what we've all been talking about. So I'd like to start this conversation, actually, if you all don't mind. We lost our greatest recruitment tool with the pandemic, and that was in-person needs assessments and focus groups. The last two or three people recruited to the council were, I think, recruited specifically by Dave Jordan via people who were actually in focus groups and needs assessments. So I don't want to be glass half empty so much, because those are coming back. We do plan on having our needs assessment focus groups in person this year. The numbers still might be down as people slowly walk back to in-person stuff, but they should certainly be better than the numbers we have in the past year or so. And so I'm hoping that then we can finally begin again connecting on a human level with other human beings. It's very hard to do virtual recruiting, right? And we really need people creating that kind of like that warm connection, whether it's a council member or council staff, to literally explain and encourage. And then because the second part is they have to also demonstrate initiative. So we don't force people to get on the council. You know, we will offer ourselves, but a person has to connect with us also, because they're going to have to come to meetings. They're going to have to make decisions. So they have to show that they want to do that as well. So it's kind of a dance, and you can't really do that dance virtually too well. But in a focus group, you can get to know someone, you know, and you can schedule some time afterwards. And so I'm hopeful that this sad number that will, over the course of the next year or so, go upwards again, because we're the San Francisco EMA. You know, we should be the best. And often we have been the best when it comes to persons living with color, persons from particularly vulnerable communities, including communities of color, including trans communities, really being at the head of the table. And certainly if not in leadership positions, very least represented or more than represented. So that just has to come back. I don't think it's gonna be an easy process, but now, of course, like we're seeing our numbers go down as people adjust to different new realities. Like Jesse Murphy, for example, who was one of the most, I'd say, active former prevention council members to join us with Emerge, is leaving because simply she now lives 4 hours away while still working with Alliance, so can't do it. And so we're going to see more of that potentially. So we have to be proactive. It's not going to be a quick fix, though. And it does have to rely on council members as well. That warm handoff, that human connection has to happen from y'all too, you know? People in your lives, in your work lives, personal lives, whatever, who you think would be good. That's, you know, whether it's via staff or council members, we just have to make it a priority. I know that Elaine has spoken to this many times before. And I just think it's something that when we get back into person, the reality will be clear to people because there'll be less people around that table. We still have more numbers than many other EMAs and TGAs in the nation. I want to put that out there. You know, we're not remedial EMA that needs technical assistance on this. But I just think maybe it's my ego here being proud of the San Francisco EMA, being proud of just everywhere around San Francisco as well, that we should be like top. And part of like, in some ways, like that whole, like we've now turned into a guardian commission that just wants to protect our services. Actually, that comes from, we've had a very like laudable, proud history of making sure our services remain. And so that's something I'm actually, even though it's more static than dynamic, I'm proud of. But I think we should also be proud of continuing to have a community body, even if, whether it's an activist body or a guardian body that is diverse, that actually shows that the community cares, even if it's that cares about maintaining stuff. Sorry, that was my little monologue soliloquy for you all.
No, you are great, Mark. Thank you. Yeah, and like you said, yes, I have been preaching about it for several times because I'm very, I don't go to the city often, but I understand what's needed and we need to push it a little bit more. And now that we have some kind of numbers already leaving us and dropping, it puts us more into, well, it puts me more into wanting to make that commitment and say, yes, we've got to keep this body still going, still active, because I'm right there behind you, Mark, on that. I'm very proud to be on both councils. And I wanted to see us both succeed the way we should be, because these services are still being met and needed. And we need these new people to come in and want to make sure that continues going. So that should be kind of like the motivation for our group here. Just keep on going. We don't want to see this to end. It's not that it will, but you know, we just want to make it stronger in the way it should be.
Yeah.
So I think when we get back in together, which I really am excited and looking forward to doing with you guys, I think once we get back together in person, this is that opportunity that I would like for all of us to take in and really put our heads together and really kind of make that strong commitment of coming up with new ideas, what we can do, where to go. If it's meaning that us having to go out there and talk to the community, then that's what we should do, because this is membership and this is what we should be doing. So if it's coming up with great ideas, I want to hear them all. So.
Absolutely. I also think that we should see this, I mean, not as a burden really, but really part of the mission, right? Of the committee specifically, but of the council. And that exists for everyone, not simply only persons living with HIV. I don't want to feel like my message is like, okay, you all need to speak to the community and bring people to us. Because the same thing is for government and for service providers. Like if you're a government appointee and leave, like we would like you to be able to bring someone in to replace you, because we would like to think that you recognize the importance of the and value of that particular expertise. Similar with service providers. If you have clients that you're seeing or are part of your actual network, whether it's on your own consumer advisory board or just part of your agency's world, and you feel like they can actually be a person who could work with the client, there have been a number of folks who have joined the council because they, you know,
they, like Eric Sutter knew them as a client of Shanti or this or that. That counts too. And so I just think if we start thinking in like bold patterns rather than like if it happens, that will be for the best. Again, though, I am pinning a lot of hopes on the potential to be meeting people in person with needs assessment. And as you will find out at this month's full council meeting, the target that's been determined for this year's needs assessment are the trans communities. So voila, like that's already an exciting thing that connects with our conversation.
Yeah.
So, okay. Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
I wanted to add one more agenda item if we're done with this one, and that was actually return to in-person. I should have done this at jump and add it to the agenda, but can we move on to this next one? Unless anyone else had any thoughts on recruitment? No, okay, sorry. When I come into a committee meeting, I just start running it. I just am terrible. So if anyone wants to slow me down, just do it. So with return to in-person, the dialogue that's been happening has been in all ways reliant on what our guidance is from the mayor's office. The mayor's office has been clear that the expectation for chartered commissions is that they all are in person now as of this month. We are not a chartered commission. That is because we have something that's outside of the city. You know, we're federally mandated, we're CDC used to be mandated. We serve San Mateo and Marin. We're a different kind of body. However, we are still a city commission. So my guess though, is because so when I say she, I do mean Mayor London Breed, who is also our CEO, of this council, if she is going in the direction that I think that she's going in, if she's put chartered as in-person for sure March, perhaps a non-chartered way back in April. And so that would mean that the full council itself, as well as the steering committee, the leadership committee of the council would have to be in person. That's where votes happen. Even though Sunshine and Brownraker have to an extent been there, lifted, those are going to come back. And so we're going to have to look at least those two bodies definitely being back in person. That said, there has been dialogue across all committees. I know it's happened here as well. And I know it's happened outside of the Planning Council and other kinds of community bodies about, well, have we learned any lessons from the pandemic around being able to do virtual stuff as well? Now, not so much mixed, because I think as we've seen with the former in-person stuff, mixed is hard. We can have like our state office person call in, but we can't have multiple people call in and actually be able to run a meeting, you know? And that's why we kind of reserve it for that one position, the state office of AIDS rep. But that also means that there is the potential, and I think it should be determined both by the leadership committee, steering, and by each individual committee, for folks to consider if they actually want to maintain a mixed kind of body so that, say, subcommittees are able to continue to meet virtually if the group wants, while the two that need to meet in person, well, they will have to meet in person. So that's where it's at. I know that people have different feelings. Some people, council members, some council members want an exact return. We all return to in person, including all subcommittees. Others are very clear that they want literally what I just described, that to be the reality, that we need to recognize that things shift and that virtual could actually help to keep many people to actually not leave the council in the flood. So I just want to check what y'all thought about the idea of membership itself. I mean, there's no vote right now itself, either coming back in person or staying virtual. And I'd love for us to all just go around and share our thoughts or voices, unless you actually don't have a thought on this right now. And so I'd love to start with the co-chair of this committee, yeah. Elaine, what are your thoughts? Okay.
My thoughts on it is, I think I'm actually looking forward to meeting with everybody in person. Like I said, when we did the recruitment right now, that I feel like it's more in more personal, more in depth when it's together, when it's not so far away through a video. You know, I'll give a good example. We ran our last Zoom meeting in Marin yesterday, And not to bring up bad manners, but there was a lot of bad manners yesterday. And being on Zoom puts that pressure on everybody. And I think I learned a really good, strong lesson along with Wade, because he's a co-chair there too. I think we're ready to jump off from the Zoom because we got into a big confrontation with everybody. And it's gone over control where it's like, okay, this is not working out anymore. We need to get involved with each other and just stay connected that way. I just feel that I think we could get work better done if we just go back to our ways and being in person. Now, we are a small group, so I don't think it would really be, you know, totally wrong not to be in person.
Thank you, Elaine. So it sounds like first of all, I do have to agree with you. For some reason, it's so much easier to be rude on Zoom and also to just not pay attention or care what's happening on Zoom. I know that I've experienced that. And it's difficult in some ways to be to have that same kind of affect or attitude when you're literally with another human being in the same room, right? Anyway, I just noticed that at my own agency, Shanti. I'm just like, I don't think you would have all talked to each other that way if you were in person, because I think someone would have gotten, anyway.
I'm glad you said, because you know what you mean, because I want to say something yesterday that made one of my other members say, well, that wasn't so very mannerism. And I was like, oh, okay. Yeah, I think we're all losing it. So,
too easy. So it sounds like if we were to take a vote now, Elaine, you would actually vote for this subcommittee to return in person. So let me go now to Gwen. What are your thoughts?
Okay, my thoughts is we have to try to get back to normal some kind of way, but we also have to respect Mr. COVID.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's mutating. It's another variant out there that I heard about today. So we can't forget that we need to keep our masks on and try to be 6 feet away from each other. And let's just get back to trying to be normal. So I vote yes.
So you would vote for it in person as well. Thank you, Gwen.
Yes.
Rob?
Yeah, I would vote yes, along with what Gwen said. I think we need to take some precautions still, maybe for a couple months. That way everyone eases into it. But I do totally support us going back to in-person meetings. I just want to keep it open for those who still hesitate. And if there's a way to include them through even Zoom, maybe have a laptop that's present there and then, you know, position it in such a way where they're looking at the whole council and they could still be present. Is that possible?
That is possible, but that does not make for a good meeting. I've done this. My experience doesn't have to be the rule though, right? It doesn't mean it have to be the rule. We can always try, but I literally have done this during those brief times where like people were faked out and thinking we're returned back to normal. I ran to go back to normal. And so I had in-person meetings, but like Gwen says, while also being respectful of folks, so we made them mix, but those folks who were on Zoom, their voices were lost. A lot of times, like it was reported back to me, all I was seeing was everyone's backs because people forgot I was there. And at one point I was muted and yelling at you all. Like this has happened a few other times. And so I just think it's going to be really difficult. We can try, but it sounds like Ron, that your vote would be back to in-person. Before I go on to the next person, I want to say that this wouldn't happen in April. Like in April, if it was to happen, it would happen with full council and steering and then say we'd maybe target May. For that. So don't feel like, okay, woo, I need to get ready for April for membership. Okay, JP?
Hi there. Before you just said what you said, I was actually right there with everybody else thinking that, you know, given the folks that, a lot of the folks that we're charged to be working with and for, I think it would behoove us to have some sort of in and out options for at least a little while till people are comfortable. But then you mentioned what you mentioned, and it does make sense. So I'm not really sure. I'm definitely into coming back in person, but I'd like us to still try to figure out if there's an option for folks to still be able to listen in or participate in some way, shape, or form until they're comfortable to come back.
Thank you. So that sounds like a yes, but a yes similar to what Ron was saying. All right, Zachary.
Yeah, I'm totally in support of coming back in person. I do miss seeing everyone in person, so.
Okay.
My vote's yes.
Well, speaking of short and sweet, Ed?
You know me, I've been begging to come back in person for a long, long time.
You so, and Richard and Ken have been waving that flag.
I am definitely on that side. But I think it's good. I also have another group that I meet with that we have some that are coming in person and some that are meeting on Zoom, and really haven't had problems with that. Unlike yours, we really haven't had problems. And it would be neat, let's say if we had our membership meeting and there was a subgroup assigned to work on a project to go to API to, you know, do a membership presentation. It would be nice to legally have that option to be able to hold meetings on Zoom.
Yeah.
So legal, that everyone doesn't have to come into DPH to do that. Yeah.
Well, legally is both the problem and also not a problem. One of the things, the conversations that happened at steering was that if the recognition is that if there are two groups, full council and steering, that will unfortunately have to be in person and probably will not be able to be mixed that well either, then the other subcommittees, if they decide to be virtual or mixed, could have motions, including motions for membership, like we want to renew this member, we want to bring this new member on, then go to steering to be approved. Because approval per, you know, Brown, Raker, and Sunshine is in person. Right now, those are softened completely, right, because of the pandemic, but they're going to come back eventually. But that doesn't need to shift. Like if we decide to try, like say for maybe even the rest of the year, some kind of a mix of like Zoom in person. And that means perhaps if Sunshine Brown Raker have come back, this, you can't actually do a motion, you can still do a recommendation. And then the recommendation, although not binding, can then be made binding by steering. Does that make by sense?
Yeah. Yeah.
So it would just be adding an extra step. So you all could meet, let's say Gwen and Ron and Ed call in, although I doubt Ed would ever call in. And you all decide to vote on a new member, it just would go to steering to like uphold that recommendation and turn it into a motion. And so if folks are down with that, it does sound like, okay, well, this committee has already made up its mind. It is ready to come back. So I could actually report that back to steering if Elaine's not at steering next week. So, okay.
I'll try to make it.
Hope that eye's better though. Don't come in blind.
I know. I'll let you know when my texts are coming out really scrinkly, then you know I'm blind.
You even did an emoji on your text, so I know that maybe if you shut one eye, you can do that.
I think so. I'm kind of short and sweet.
Yeah. All righty. So I think that's it for the meeting. It was a pleasure to see you all. I don't come to every membership committee meeting, so it's always awesome when I do attend and see you all.
Thanks, Mark.
Bye, everyone.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody.